some of us that have studied the Word of God for a long, long time realize the things that are happening in the world today with the nation of Israel and the warfare that's going on. This is all a sign that the Lord has allowed to speak to us that the coming of Jesus is really close at hand. I really believe that. We study scripture texts and go through many, many things over the years looking at the signs that the Lord said he would give and the end time when it was very near the coming of Jesus Christ. And this, you know, poor Israel, they just have had a time with all of the centuries that God has tried to deal with them. Sometimes they were yielded, few of them would follow God. Other times it'd be great, great groups of them who would just go away from God and not follow God. And so we're going to ask the Lord to bless this lesson today, and it's going to be about Israel and the scripture, and just kind of see the things that God has done in working with Israel over the centuries. And praise the Lord that he has, in the age that we live in, we call it the church age or the grace age that we live in right now, the message of salvation is to whosoever will to the Lord may come. It isn't just all Gentiles or it's all Jews or something like that. Praise the Lord. Whoever comes and asks the Lord to come into their life, it's the Lord just does that right away. He loves to hear someone call and say, I need Jesus. I need the Lord to be in my life. And so let's ask the Lord to bless this word. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the many, many scriptures that you have brought to us, Lord, over the ages, Father, even over all the space of time that we've lived on this earth, studying the word of God and showing us that you are working out things according to your will, that you have a divine will. You have given the world so many opportunities to really believe in you as the Son of God and as the Savior of the world. And there are so many who do not believe, Lord, and even Israel, the nation, that you chose the people, Father. You allowed your son even to come and be born as a little Israeli child, dear Father, though the Son of God. We know, Father, that you are trying to work in Israel, and yet they rejected their Messiah, Father. And over these years, since Messiah came, oh, Lord, what trouble, what times of bad distress Israel has had. And we believe you today, Father, to work and speak to the hearts of people that they will turn to the Lord God in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we're going to go way back in the history of the Bible and talk. And I hope I'm not going to be here 2 hours or three. But, you know, I do want to just tell you some things. One of the things that I found out quite some time ago is how many people are religious in Israel. And there's very few of them that are. The majority of the Israelites that have, you know, come from other nations, they were just all over the world and still are many, many places. They came back there to that land, but the majority of the people that are there in that land don't believe in God, believe it or not. And they're the ones that do believe are a minority. And I found out several facts that I'm going to mention to you, but I just want to mention that a few things here to begin. God created the earth. According to my Bible, you know, and update of what I have in my Bible, that was in 4004 BC. Think how many years ago that is that God created the heavens and the earth and made the earth to be fit for human beings to live on. Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden because of their unbelief and their being tempted by the devil that caused them to eat of the fruit of the tree that God had told them not to do. And so they were put out of the garden. And then we have the history of about how that when they went out of the garden, they evidently had been taught by God, you know, to offer offerings of animals, of a sheep or goat, because that's what Abel chose. Their son Abel chose that to give unto God an animal that would be pleasing to God, a little lamb. His brother, of course, did not. He brought his vegetables and things that he had created. That's the way mankind is a lot, you know. They want to please God, but they don't want to go God's way. They want to go whatever they think is right. And so in about 3875 B.C. is when Abel, it's about 129 years later, after Adam and Eve and their family. And, you know, we have Abel and Cain. There were many other children of Adam and Eve. Who would they have married? You know, you know that, don't you? They would had to have other brothers and sisters because they were the two beginning ones, Adam and Eve. But they had many, many, many children. And if you read the genealogies in the book of Genesis, and you have to find that out, that there were many, many children that Adam and Eve had. Then in about 2353 B.C., that was about 651 years after the creation. That was the time of the flood. God said, can't strive with man anymore. The people of the world were so terribly bad and not walking with God. Can you imagine out of the population of the whole world that only 8 people were following God? And that was Noah, his wife, the 3 sons, and their wives. And God told them to build that ark. And to get into that ark, and the flood was going to come, and all of the population was gone except for those that were in the ark. It's a great lesson for us that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior are the safe ones. They are with the Lord. They are in this safe place. But in those days, that was the ones that believed, was Noah. Genesis, the first book of the Bible, turned to the 6th chapter of Genesis, and we're just going to read a little bit there. We're going to begin reading with verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his sight. And down the wickedness of man. Let's look at verse 22 of that same chapter 6. And it says there, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him to do, so did he. He was an obedient servant of the Lord, even though it looked so impossible. Can you imagine how you would feel if God would appear to you and say, the water's going to come down from the sky. You've never seen that before, but this is what's going to happen. And everybody's going to be drowned here unless you build this big ark. You know, it'd be hard for us to say, well, Lord, the ark's not big enough. There's thousands of people here. But God, he knew everything. And so, dear Noah and his sons and wives all worked, and they got that ark all ready. And praise the Lord, they did all that God commanded him. So God has always had people in the different segments of the time that the earth has been here that believed in God and followed him. But there has often been many who did not. Praise God. In chapter 7, verse 16, I want us to read. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him up. Praise the Lord. The Lord shut the door of that ark, and they were protected by God. And in verse chapter 8, verse 1, and you can read all this again when you get home, see? I'm not reading the whole thing, because I know many of us have read the Bible, but I just read along there if you want to. Genesis 8, verse 1, God remembered Noah and every living thing and all of the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water assuaged. It went back. God sent the rain back. Now, this was the date of about 2348. About 1,650 years after creation, God had been dealing with mankind for this long a time, 1,650 years. That's a long time to be patient, isn't it? You and I couldn't put forth that, could we? But God was so patient, he kept dealing with them and dealing with them, and finally there was not any but eight people that were really believing in God. Today, we live in a society where thousands of people don't believe in God, and some believe in the wrong gods. Some people believe, like we're now having the battles with the Muslims and different ones. They don't worship the same God and the same Lord Jesus that we do. They just believe Jesus was just an ordinary kind of a person that knew about God, and they don't believe he's the Son of God and so forth like we do in real salvation. So after the flood and destruction of the earth, and many of Noah's descendants went their way, and various races again began to spring up. Let's look in Genesis 11. If you haven't read the book of Genesis, it's a good book to read to kind of get yourself acquainted with the beginning of this earth. Genesis 11, verse 1. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And, of course, this is the chapter that we know about. They weren't happy. And they decided they would build a big tower to heaven and go up there. And God's up there. Okay, we'll just build this tower. We'll go up there as high and we'll just see if God's really up there. See, they really were not in faith toward the God, toward the Lord. But remember that this is Israel. Now, it hasn't been called Israel yet, but that's how Israel was made, was from Adam, God's plan. He didn't say, okay, one of Adam's children or whatever is going to be the Gentiles. He didn't say that. This was all aimed to create the nation of Israel so that later on the Son of God would be born of Israel. But all of this separation from these different groups that didn't believe in God and they went off here and somebody else went off here, they started all of these different nations. It's quite an interesting study if you want to study that sometime. Just see where they went. And you can find most of that information right in the Bible. So the sons of Noah had many, many children, and they brought forth many who multiplied and spread over the whole earth. His son Shem, remember there was Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Shem now was the child who was the father of Israel. From him came Abraham. From him came Jacob. All of those are the sons of Noah. And between Noah and the flood and Jesus Christ being born, clear on down, how many years do you think that was? It was 2,340 years until the time of Jesus Christ being born and coming up on the scene, from the flood until Jesus Christ was born. God has been very patient with this earth. He has allowed time, space for people to go and do what he wants them to do, but then they don't do it. Look at the world today. The world is full of unbelief, full of sinfulness. It isn't following the will of God. It isn't following what he wants. And one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back here, because we know that he died for the world. He paid the penalty for everyone to come and receive him. So we don't know exactly when Jesus was born. I was looking that up, and some people said it was A.D. 1, because that was when Herod was on the throne there. We don't know exactly. Remember, they killed all the boy children. Old Herod sent out and said, kill all the boy children so that the Messiah would be killed. And so 2 years young and under, Herod said, and he died in 4 BC. The Lord said, enough with you, mister. and he just caused him to die right there in his throne. So God has been working over the ages. I want us to turn in our Bibles. We're back probably here in Genesis. Let's go to 32nd chapter of Genesis. We're going to go in and see this man named Jacob. All right, let's go to the 32nd chapter, verse 28. God dealt with Jacob. He was a man who followed God while his brother did not. They were twins. Remember that? God came to him in the form of an angel, sort of like a man, and he wrestled with God. He wrestled with God. Number 28, he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." Now, this is the first time that we hear the word Israel. Jacob was following God, obeying God's laws, rules, and so forth, but his brother was not. And he was afraid of his brother, and he was kind of wrestling with himself. It says there in verse 25, and his joint was out of joint, and his God allowed that because he wrestled with an angel. And then in this verse 28, he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." Now, what is Israel? The word means, in the original language, the Prince of God. The Prince of God. So from then on, when you talk about Israel, you're talking about God's chosen people. And they've been very delinquent. They have been very much against God. Off and on, all through the Bible, you read of the things that Israel did. They split. 10 tribes went one way, and 2 tribes went another way. The 2 tribes were called Judah. The other 10 tribes were called Israel. And they were, the ones that were in the 10 tribes were not godly at all. They began to worship idols. They began to follow other gods. And the 2 tribes, the Jerusalem, the other part of them, Judah, they believed and tried to follow God, but still were not very faithful to God. But God dealt with them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jacob was a twin to Esau, born second. He was born second. Esau was born first. He was the chosen one, though, that was led by God. As he was being born, his hand reached out as his brother had been born. His little body was going out, and Jacob reaches forth and grabs Esau's foot like this with his hand. That was a signal that God had chosen this man, Jacob, to be the one, his choice. So all through the Old Testament, the descendants of the Jews, they were all through the Old Testament. They had prophets. Prophets would come forth, and prophets would try to witness to them to follow God. And they did have David, King David, who was a marvelous person who loved God, though he had faults. But yet, when he came about into place, Israel began to follow God more. And also the temple being built and all of those things that God had, that was a wonderful thing. But all of the Old Testament, the descendants of the Jews, they were rebellious against God, and they went through terrible persecution from other people constantly, people that were bearing down on them. I think most of you are aware of this. In the New Testament times, the priests, they were worshiping in Herod's temple, which he created. That was a great, big, wonderful-looking temple that was destroyed later. So from this line came Jesus, the reincarnated into a baby in Bethlehem, a Jewish boy. Boy, a man half Jew and half God. I think more than half God. But praise the Lord. God said they have to have a Savior there. And of course, this was planned before the world began. But even though the Israelites were God's chosen people, they were very disobedient to God. And you know, right now, I've got some things I'll tell you in a minute, but Not very many of them believe in God. There are statistics that show that. The nation of Israel is not a really godly group of people. There are lots of people that are not godly from them. God has many, many things yet to do. So from this line of this came Jesus. What a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. He was reincarnated from his heavenly being, the Son of God, sitting at the right hand of the Father, down into this little old tiny baby. Little tiny baby grew up to be the Savior of the world. How many beautiful prophecies from the Old Testament, many, many prophecies of the birth of the Messiah. And I've emphasized to you before, but I'm going to tell you again, because I know there's some people here that maybe haven't heard this, is that God chose Joseph and Mary. God chose them. Why would he have chosen those people? Because they both had a genealogy back to King David. And the scripture said the Messiah would come. He would be the progeny of King David, of the throne of David. And it's really unique because we've studied this before. In Matthew, the first chapter, it gives the genealogy of Joseph, and it puts it all back, clear back through to Solomon. Okay? And then we have Mary, and her genealogy is in the third chapter of Luke. And her genealogy goes back to another son of David. His name is Nathan. Nathan, you remember Solomon? Solomon failed a lot, didn't he? He was the man that his progeny would come on later and later and be Jesus born. But the other son that the genealogy went back to, Nathan, that's where Mary came from. She had a right to be the queen. Isn't that amazing? God didn't goof up. He didn't say, well, who down there is going to maybe be the mother of the child? He didn't do that. He had very specific things that he did in allowing the Son of God to be from a tribe in Israel. So our Savior, the Son of God, was born a Jew, an Israelite. Promises to Israel that he would be their Messiah. He promised that. He promised that he would be the Messiah of Israel. Some people received him when he was here, and many people rejected him. And he died for the sins of the whole world. Thank God that Israel didn't accept him. I wish they would have been in one way, but oh, I'm so glad he turned to the Gentiles. I'm so glad he turned to all of us so that we can be born again. God will hold us against Israel, that they rejected the Son of God coming to them. And I think that's one reason we see them in so much trouble all the time. When I think of what happened back in World War II when they killed all of these Israelites, oh my goodness, every Jew that they could find, I was looking that up. And it said that 800,000 to 1 million were killed during the Holocaust. The Nazis killed an estimated 6 million Jews. Nearly two-thirds of all Jews in Europe were killed during the Holocaust. Why? Why would God allow that? Because over the centuries, they rejected God. They rejected, now they say, some of them say, I looked it up some time ago just to see how many of them really held services that are godly, and I'm going to read some of that to you, but it was a very small about 1,000 in Jerusalem, about 1,000 are worshiping God and trying to carry out their religion, you know. The rest of them, they don't believe in God, and God, no doubt, in this terrible time that they're going through right now, many of them already being killed, God is saying, I am trying to make you see who is God over you. According to the computer, in 2019, There was 177,000, approximately 77.5% of Christian citizens in Israel. We might say, well, that sounds pretty good, about 177,000 people. But the paragraph goes on to say, citizens of Israel were all of these were Arabs. The Arabs that live in Israel are believing in God and in Jesus. They're saved. These live, 41% of them in Tel Aviv, 34% in northern Haifa region. But about 65% of Israel, the people of Israel, say they're either not religions at all, or they're convinced atheists. How much does that leave then, the ones that are religious? 30%. 30% are religious. Go through the motions. Don't believe in Jesus, but they're praying to their God. Isn't that something? So when we look at what's happening in the world right now, it just seems like, you know, here they are again. They're fighting. This is a terrific situation with our troops over there and our planes over there and our ships over there trying to help out all of this stuff. We need to really pray and seek God ourselves for safety and help, that nothing bad will happen. And as we've studied the scripture so much, we know that the tribulation time is going to come. Jesus Christ is going to come before that. And whether we want to be ready for the coming of Jesus, oh my goodness. Israel, later on, as the Messiah comes back to them, there will be many of them who reject Christ, many of them who receive Christ. And I was just looking through that too, like there's going to be 144,000 of Israel that will have a prominent place in the kingdom of Christ, according to Revelation 7, 1 through 8. See, there are some believers, thank God. In the United States, we have a lot of Jews. Many of the Jews here are believers in Christ, but there are many who are not. So, praise the Lord. I want to read one more scripture, Romans 1, 16. If you want to read it in your Bible, you're welcome to turn there. It's very, very simple and very something I know you've heard. He says, for I am not, this is Apostle Paul, who was converted to Christ and through who wrote many, many books in the New Testament. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. When Apostle Paul was here on the earth, the Jews were always preached to first because they were the people of God. But oftentimes they rejected, they persecuted, they killed different people. Like Apostle Paul, they dragged him into the, they were about to kill him. The Romans came and rescued Paul and put him in prison. You know, it was just, the Jews were just in against the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 10, 12, it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So in this age that we live, which is called the church age or the grace age, we call them dispensations. This dispensation that we live in, the message that comes from the Word of God is that whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, either Jew or Greek, or any other nation of this world, doesn't matter at all. We are all to be born again by the power of Jesus Christ in this day that we live in. Hallelujah. So our Savior, Jesus, the Son of God, born a Jew, an Israelite, praise the Lord. He is now at his Father's right hand in the heavens, and he is rejoicing and waiting for the time when it will happen that he will get to come back again and take in those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in several places. One place there in Thessalonians, it tells us that the trump of God shall sound, and they which are alive and remain, the ones that are resurrected from the dead, they'll go first, and then those that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And as I said, if you wanted to read in chapter 14 of Revelation 1 through 5, you'll see that 144,000 of Israelites will receive the Lord and be very, very helpful in the world at that time during the tribulation of 7 years. And after the tribulation starts, these people, 12,000 out of every Israeli tribe, will be filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. And they will begin to minister and will cause many, many to come to God in that time. Revelation 21:12 tells us, in heaven, the 12 tribes will have their names written in the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? Those people that God has called, they will be great ministers in that tribulation, horrible tribulation time. Sometimes we look at hear the news on the TV, and we hear the news on the radio and different things, and we think, oh, Lord God, help us in this time right now. Help our people that are over there near Israel in the armed forces. Oh, God, help Israel, Lord God, work. And Romans 22, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. That's interesting. That's not the motive. That shouldn't be our motive. Say, okay, I'm going to pray for Israel because if I do that, God's going to really prosper me. Kind of foolish, isn't it? But just remember that God had chosen Israel as his chosen people, and they rejected the Son of God. There are many Christians among the Israelites that believe in God, and we want to pray for all of them. They're right there, many of them right there in Israel that are Christians, that they need help right now. They're bombing. They're up north. They've had to leave their homes. They've had to go out and go to the south, and the south is not any better. I don't know what's going to happen, neither do you, but we know that God is trying to do something. He's trying to work some way, and I think that it behooves us to pray for Israel, that God will cause them to do the right things, because this is a sign that the coming of Jesus is at hand. We are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come at any time. If some of us are gone some of these days, that's where we're gone. We're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. As for me, I can hardly wait. But I am waiting. I'm waiting on the Lord to come and take us away one of these days very soon. So right now, what we're going to do, we're going to pray. I want you all to bow your heads and pray right now for Israel. Pray that God will help them get through this situation. Whatever he's trying to work, maybe in their horrible situation that they're in, where they're being killed so much. And, you know, we have those people that they took, these monster people, they took them over there and they've got them hid out down in that, they think they're in that big tunnel situation that's over there in that area. We'd like to see them rescued, wouldn't we? We'd like to see those people out of there. But God knows what he's allowed. And this is all to work things in the Israelites and to work things in the world, just to see. I think God is going to bless the United States for standing with Israel. But God knows what is happening. I don't know this, but I know that his coming is very, very near.